I try to get some answers. I said, okay, why aren't you guys destroying my records? He said, well, we will always be keeping a record on you. I mean, it would not be visible to employers and blah, 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 but we will always have a record. I said, all right. So what will happen now if a police just randomly stop me on the street as a black person? What would really happen to me with these list of charges? Because these list of charges really outline a psychopath, really. So, well, you just need to explain to them that you were dealing with a broad, a crazy broad. That's the way you put it. A crazy broad. So I'm going to say, that's all I need to tell him, huh? It began last year, February, around the 6th, 2012. I had a friend that was constantly harassing me through texts, through emails, through phone calls. Like I stated, she was kind of a friend, so I didn't really want to pursue any kind of action against her. However, in January, a text was sent by the same individual threatening my life. Right? That I kind of took seriously. So what I did, I went to 54 Division to inquire. The detective took a look at the text and said, I believe there's a threat. Yeah. Let's deal with this here. So they started taking statements and blah, blah, blah. After then, they said they'll go out and arrest this person. The person was released on bail on the 13th of February. Then on Valentine's Day last year, February 14th, this person went down to 54 Division and made some allegations. Subsequently, I was charged with 5 charges, and I would list them for you. Assault times 2, I mean 2 counts of assault. Assault with a deadly weapon. Sexual assault and threatening death. I was arrested 2 days later. That's on the 16th of February. Police officers came to my house. They put me in the handcuff, put me at the back of the car. Then we head down to 54 Division where they formally charged me, I guess. That's the way it's done. I was before the Justice of the Peace on the 17th of February, where I was released on bail. I then had to live with my surety until the conclusion of this case. My life from that point became hell because, one, I was pulled out of my home because I couldn't live at my home. So I lost my home. I then had to dwell at a friend's house, a surety. And you know, friendship does be good when you're visiting, but when you actually have to live there on a day-to-day, 2 big grown men, it's a different thing. So it was a tough phase. It was a tough, very tough 6 months. When I got the call in July, my lawyer called me to advise me that these charges were dropped. I began to feel a sense of joy. But that joy was really short-lived because when I tried to get these records removed, then I realized that, Bob, I still have a stumbling block in front of me. And I really did not know what to do. My lawyer wrote the first letter, which was turned down by the police headquarters. They said they will not be removing the charges. 2 letters were written. It went to the chief of police, the attorney general, and my MPP, requesting that my records be destroyed, my fingerprint be destroyed, my photographs be destroyed. 3 or 4 days ago, maybe, I received an email coming from the Attorney General, that's 3 months after the fact, just briefly indicating that, you know what, you need to hire a lawyer. We're not there to answer your concerns. And this is the same crumb who wanted to see me go to jail for these hideous crimes. Yeah? If the crown could send a memo to the court outlining that she is withdrawing these charges, is it not appropriate then for them to respond to my letter to see that my name is fully really cleared of these crimes, of these charges, because they have realized that they charged someone wrongfully? So what is the picture there that is painted then? We charge someone wrongfully, but we don't really care to clear them. That's the way I interpret it. I could be wrong, but that's the way I feel right now. After that first letter, I called the detective that was in charge of this case. He said, well, I don't know how I can help you. I really don't know how I can help you. I said, well, you know, you were the detective in charge, and I really believe if a proper investigation was done at the outset, we wouldn't have today, right? There would be no charges, and there would be none of this. Me having to explain to police that I was dealing with a crazy broad. Let's say I was pulled over in Durham region where people just don't like black brothers. And I'm telling him that I was just dealing with a crazy broad, when this guy can read that I threatened people with weapon. He done figure I'm a bad man or something. You know, my image, I'm a Rasta man. That's me. That's who I am. But Rastafarians, are they bad people? No. We're lovable people just like anybody else. Right? And if you really ask me, I will tell you what I stand for. I stand for equal rights and justice for all. Today, I continue this battle because I know I was wronged. I was wronged by the people who are supposed to be protecting me, the police services. They're supposed to be protecting me from crime. However, they're labeling me as a criminal. With no evidence, with no investigation, I'm 44 years of age, never had a police dealing in my life. They can't just look at you and classify you in a bracket because you're black and because you have locks, and they just assume, stereotype you. Oh yes, he probably deal with guns, he probably drinks, he probably smokes. I remember the first question the police asked me when I came out to the police cruiser the night I was arrested was, were you drinking? I've been a vegetarian for 24 years. I don't drink alcohol. Every day I'm emotional in some aspect. There are times I come home and I just want to hide under my bed. I don't socialize anymore. And I must state, I'm an entertainer. That's how I live. I would come home from my 9-to-5 and I would go out in the clubs to perform, to sing, to play. Now I don't want to leave my house because a part of me is afraid. And that fear is real.